Welcome to the Horror Writers Podcast, the show with two horror authors discussing all things in the world of horror. I'm Zach Bohan, and with me is Jay Thorne. How you doing, Jay?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. You did the show solo last week because I had some prior commitments, and we kind of had to jump on the opportunity to interview Jason. So good job. Interview was awesome. So.
Thanks, man. Totally missed you there, but equally as happy that you made it back out of the forest. So,
yeah, you seem to. I mean, obviously that whole topic is right up your wheelhouse. So, and I know that you're very familiar with the forest in that movie. So it seemed like you had a lot of fun doing that interview. So
yeah, it was nice, and we always try and do these together. And I think you and I both felt as though like we, Hollywood schedules are tough and we had the opportunity to interview Jason and we kind of had to take it, even though it wasn't ideal for both of us. So I was kind of sucked not having you there, but it was really interesting. And he was a really good interview, really interesting guy. So hopefully you guys were all digging that episode.
Well, I know I dug it. So It was a little weird watching without seeing me there at this point, even though I was a fan of the show before I was on, but it was cool. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And, we're working on some other stuff too and getting some other really, really cool interviews. Let's see, where do we go? Oh, so today, moving on, we're talking about just, I guess, in general, music and horror movies. So scores, soundtracks, just kind of a general discussion on, what some good ones, what makes a good one, all that kind of stuff. But I guess first, Jay, you have anything, you've been reading anything cool or you have anything you watched, anything like that?
Nothing really new at this moment. I'm kind of in a lull with television. The seasons are either over or waiting for new ones. So I guess the coolest thing is this afternoon I was at the Cleveland Museum of Art with my kids, which is an awesome museum. You wouldn't think it would be in Cleveland. And they have this whole medieval gallery with full suits of armor and daggers and stilettos and swords and crossbows. And we just spent hours in there. It's phenomenal.
Nice.
So that's my something cool.
I love how you said that TV is at a lull right now when Game of Thrones is on. And then you immediately started talking about armor and swords and stuff. It's like, dude, you got to start watching Game of Thrones. You have no idea what you're missing.
I know. I watched the first episode a long time ago and it was okay. And a first episode is, you got to give a show more than that. I totally admit it. And just kind of never got back to it. And I have to at some point, but
yeah, you haven't do. Yet. You definitely do because it's amazing. So it's really good. So I don't really have anything either, to be honest with you. I've just been doing, my wife's been working a lot. So I've been with my daughter a lot. And, just working on book stuff. while I have been watching my daughter, like I just got done rewatching for the second time. And I don't know if I mentioned this on here, but so one of my like top three favorite shows ever, and a lot of people probably make fun of me, but it is a great TV show. I don't care. Is Friday Night Lights. Okay. And I just got done watching it for the second time. It's like, it was just as good this time, but now I don't really know what to watch. I've been binge watching episodes of Tiny House Hunters, which is just fascinating. Like there was an episode where six people were trying to move, like this family of six was wanting to move into a house and they were budgeting 100 square feet per person. So they were wanting to move into a 600 square foot house and it was like fucking insane. So, totally not horror related, but just fascinating. So, and they put up a bunch of episodes on Netflix. So, tiny house stars. There goes more of my metal and horror cred right down the toilet. So I guess we don't really have anything to announce, do we, right now?
No, so, we could make something up or tease something, but we don't really have anything for real. So
we could remind people about Patreon.
yeah, we could, huh? We're terrible with that. We're so terrible with that. Yeah, throw us a dollar if you want. I don't know. It's ridiculous, right?
I know. We don't like doing it, so, you know. But if you want to support the show, you know, like Jay said before, I'm gonna take this one over for you. The show is always going to be free. Like, you know, it's not like this is something that Jay and I love getting on here every week and talking to each other. but there are some minimal costs involved, you know, hosting, website, all that kind of stuff, podcasting and website hosting. So, you know, if you want to support the show, you know, for less than a cup of coffee a week, then you can jump on thehorrorwriterspodcast.com and you will see a button on there for Patreon or whatever. People call it all kinds of stuff. So yeah, cool. So I guess let's jump into our discussion about music and horror movies.
Yeah.
So, Jay, how do we gonna start with this?
Okay. How about you ask me to start the conversation? Let's try something different.
Jay, start the conversation on horror movie music. Go.
All right. Well, there's sort of two. I don't know to what. There's sort of two flavors of music in horror movies. There's the score, which is the mostly instrumental atmospheric music you would hear while you're watching the movie. That's what a score is, if you're not familiar with it. And then there's a soundtrack, and soundtracks for movies typically include songs that were featured in the movie or songs that are just associated with the movie. So when you asked me about this episode, I started thinking about sort of both of those types of music that are involved in horror movies. And for me, this is kind of weird, but honestly, the score is less interesting than the soundtracks. And here's why. If you're watching a horror movie.
That's what I was going to ask you. Talking about a horror movie or just in general?
Yeah, I'm talking, well, for horror movies, I think the palette of the score is pretty limited. You know, you're not going to hear a lot of happy, bubbly music in a horror film. So that being said, there are some standouts. And I don't know if you want to get into specifics or if you sort of want to comment on scores for horror movies.
No, we can go ahead. No, keep going. You can go ahead and get in some specifics. It's fun.
Well, the big one, which I think is something most people may not consider, is who composed the score for your favorite movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Halloween,
yeah. John Carpenter did the score for that movie, which I don't know if many people know that he was the one that did that, which is really cool. I think of all the scores for horror movies, I would have to say that little motif for Halloween has to be the most recognizable in the world. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's probably that and Tubular Bells, The Exorcist, are probably those two, and then Jaws are probably the three that are probably the most like famous. Like, I don't know if you could rank them, you know. Right. Halloween may have a slight edge over those other two. But yeah, it's just so simple. Like, that whole score is simple for that whole movie. I mean, it's just John Carpenter on a keyboard, you know? And honestly, like, if you hear him talk about it, the only reason he did it was because they didn't have any money.
Yes.
Like, That's why he did the soundtrack, because he's a musician. Like, he actually put out a record like a year or two ago of like, it's called like Lost Tracks, and it's that type of stuff. Mm. He's been touring and everything. Like, I saw a YouTube video of him on stage with a full band playing the Halloween theme. It was pretty cool, really.
Yeah.
But that's why he did it, because they did not have the money to have someone score the film. So he's like, well, I'm directing the film. I'm put all this money into it. I'm behind it. I'm just going to score it. Which turned out to be a damn good decision.
Yes.
Because it overall, that movie probably has the best score in a horror movie. Like, because you can basically identify every song in that movie to the scene it goes with.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So I agree, like, that one, and then I mentioned The Exorcist. Like that theme song for The Exorcist is amazing. And then Jaws, of course, like everyone knows the the John Williams theme.
I think it's also worth mentioning, and he hasn't done sort of more traditional horror movies, but I think Danny Elfman is worth a mention here as well. You know, he did Nightmare Before Christmas, and he's done a slew of other animated other films. I think he's been four-time nomination for an Oscar. His stuff's really good, and Danny Elfman, I think he did The Simpsons too, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
So definitely worth a mention here. If we're talking about
not to mention, try going to any Halloween party ever and not hearing Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Yeah,
which a lot of people may not know is a band that he's singing in the '80s.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, he did.
So, yeah, Danny Elfman was the singer and guitar player for the 80s new wave band Oingo Boingo before he hooked up with Tim Burton and launched a whole other career.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Man's Party is like very synonymous with the holiday of Halloween. Yes. So,
Also worth mentioning that if you're into sort of heavy metal or shock rock, you know, you got Marilyn Manson, who was part of Resident Evil. That was also one I wanted to mention too.
Oh yeah. Good call. Yeah, for sure. Another thing I want to mention on scores, a more modern one that I've talked about before, of course, is It Follows. Like I think that probably has the best modern score of a horror movie. And it's very similar to Halloween, like to John Carpenter. It's very low key, and the cool thing about that soundtrack is the way it's used in the movie,
right?
Like and Halloween, and it's like, and well, Halloween's maybe not a good example, but in a lot of horror movies, like the music really starts to set them, like, you know, something's coming.
Yes.
And It Follows, they kind of use that to trick you.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of parts where the music is really coming to a crescendo and it's really building, you think something's going to jump out, and then nothing happens.
Right
and I think that's it's a difficult trick to pull off, and it's very, very, very effective when someone does it right.
Yeah, I was looking it up. The guy's name is Rich Reland, and he goes by Disaster Piece. He's the guy that did composed It Follows.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a great one. Something else I was trying to think of is that, and I want to go back and watch it now, but like Alien, I don't feel like Alien even has music.
Why do I think someone did Alien? Someone scroll here.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna look it up. Maybe so. James
Horner did it.
Okay.
Yeah, he did Star Trek II, and Horner's done some TV work as well.
It's funny, like I go back to thinking about Alien, and I know there's like a main title and stuff like that. It just seems like a lot of that movie, there's not music playing.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think there is, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, so you mentioned Manson, of course there's other ties in, like Rob Zombie, who I'll talk about in a minute. Yep. But I know the big part of this conversation you want to have is soundtracks.
Yeah.
So, and I know why. I know which one in particular you really want to bring up.
Oh, I don't think you do.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead then? Because I know this is the part of the conversation you're really excited about.
Yeah, I went back. If you see over my left shoulder here, I got my CD collection, which I really don't touch at all ever. I have all of those. I have ripped on my phone now, which is kind of crazy. But this gave me the excuse to kind of go and dig back through those for this episode, and I didn't buy many soundtracks over the past 20 or 30 years, but the ones I bought I really liked, and so I was able to dig a few out, and these might surprise you. And Zach, I don't even know if you're gonna even know some of these, but this one is the soundtrack for the movie Judgment Night, and I think it was Emilio Estevez, maybe. Cuba Gooding Jr., a pretty terrible movie. Not a horror movie necessarily, but it's like a the guys go out and then get into really bad trouble. Like, it's sort of like The Hangover, but like in a serious way. And the, but the reason I mention it is this soundtrack came out, or this movie came out in, I don't know what, 90 something. I can't even see the print. It's so small. But it was a collaborative effort. What they did was they paired sort of a lot of metal, alternative rock, rock acts with like rap and hip hop. So you have like Helmet and House of Pain doing a song together, Living Color and Run DMC, Slayer and Ice-T, Faith No More and Booyah Tribe, Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot, Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill, Biohazard and Onyx. So you, you have like just a lot of really strange combinations, and just kind of interesting. So this is one I thought you were not even anticipate.
That's funny, man. That I did not anticipate that one at all. that's really funny. On a side note, totally unrelated, you mentioned Pearl Jam. This weekend that we're recording this is Bonnaroo, and Pearl Jam is headlining. And last night, Pearl Jam played a secret show at Third Man Records, which is Jack White from the White Stripes label, and he has like a record store there. And a friend of mine got to go, and there was like eighty people there.
Wow.
Or something. And they recorded like a record. Like that's what he does at Third Man. Like they do live performances. Then he like, they record it and then they print, they like do the vinyl there.
Yes.
But yeah, every year when Bonnaroo comes around, like there's some secret show. Like, when Metallica headlined a few years ago, they played at this venue called The Basement, which is like the size of my room. And there was like 75 people in the room. So just a little side note, since Bonnaroo's on my mind right now. One soundtrack that I want to bring up, and you know, probably like my favorite soundtrack for a horror movie, is Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
That soundtrack is unfreaking believable. You know, the first of the movie, of course, like, you know, has Midnight Rider by Allman Brothers Band like kicks in, and that really like really does a good job of setting the mood of that movie.
Yep.
And you know, it's got like Funk 49 by the James Gang is in there, but what, Free Bird is the very end of the movie. Like, which is, it's amazing when like, it basically plays all of Free Bird, like the whole song. but what I really want to talk about in that soundtrack, there's a couple of tracks on there, by a guy named Terry Reed. There's this one really great song called Seed of a Memory that's in the, it's like movie when, I don't want to spoil the movie in case people haven't seen it, but just, it's this really like moody, folky music. And I, it was, when I heard it, like I really wanted to get to know this guy more and like find more of his music, but it was really fucking hard because he's like from the 70s and stuff. But anyway, when I was going through all this stuff and I found, I was learning about the guy, he was supposed to, he was originally going to be the singer in Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
Yeah. And he ended up, I mean, his, he writes this really like singer songwriter folky stuff. That's amazing. Huh. But if you can get a hold of the Devil's Reject soundtrack, like I said, listen to this song Seed of a Memory by Terry Reed. And like I said, that guy was going to be in, I don't know what happened, but he was like going to be in Led Zeppelin before they got Robert Plant.
Cool.
Almost said Robert Palmer, Robert Plant. So that's probably my favorite horror soundtrack of all time. It's just a great, like some of the songs in there just come at the right time, and it's amazing. So
I got another one here I pulled out. This is
The Crow. Nice.
Soundtrack. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies. You know, Brandon Lee died on the set, of course. That's sort of the, you know, the big claim to fame. But this soundtrack is really a snapshot of time, and it's got some of the best music of the era, I think. So you have songs from The Cure, Stone Temple Pilots, Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, Rollins Band, Helmet, Pantera, Jesus and Mary Chain, My Life with Thrill Kill Cult. There's just a lot of great, great music on this. And the movie itself is I think it's a classic, and this is fantastic.
I didn't know Rage was on there because that's like a little bit before they really hit. I mean, because that movie's like, what, 94?
I think so.
And like, I mean, they didn't really hit until like 96, 97, something like that is when they really started.
The first one came out in 92. I think the first Rage record came out in 92, and this is 94. So it might have been, yeah, as they were starting to break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I was thinking of Evil Empire.
Yeah.
Like, because when that record came out is when they really, like,
yeah,
really hit. But yeah, that's a great soundtrack. I'm glad you brought that one up. So we're coming up on time. You don't want to talk about The One at all?
All right. Well, I know you're, I got an honorable mention too that's gonna surprise you, but the one that you thought I was gonna go to was Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Dokken.
I love Dokken, still love Dokken. The reason I wasn't too jazzed about it is because we're really only talking two songs, Dream Warriors, yeah, which was okay, but Into the Fire, which was awesome. That was part of the soundtrack. So yes, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, Dokken. All right.
I just wanted to hear you say I love Dokken. So what's your honorable mention?
Honorable mention, not a horror film, but soundtrack for an age is the single soundtrack. Now, I'm going to lose some of my metal and horror cred here, but I'm bringing this up because here are the bands on this soundtrack: Mother Love Bone, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, Chris Cornell, Paul Westerberg, Mudhoney, Jimi Hendrix, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
All right. Still good stuff. Honorable mention.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the grunge era is probably my favorite. It is my favorite era of music. So that early to mid 90s like rock alternative grunge stuff is by far my favorite era of music. So
you got to get the single soundtrack because that's pretty much it.
I'm right there with you. So well, cool. I think that's pretty much all I got. So same with you.
Yeah, that was fun
for sure. Anytime we can talk about music, it's fun.
Yeah.
So you know,
out there listening too, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, a lot of them might not know what a CD collection is, but
Yeah.
Does it make you sad that I sold all my CDs a few years ago?
No. I have aspirations of doing that. Like, and then I look over there and I see them and I'm like, nah, it's too much work.
Yeah, I think I made about $500.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're worth anything now. I have a hard time giving them away.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, there's a bunch of Asheville here that you can get rid of that stuff.
I've got a lot of limited editions and imports and stuff too. So as long as I don't have to move them or pack them up anywhere, they'll probably stay for now.
Nice. Well, all right. Well, again, music, probably a very recurring theme on the show. Seems like every guest we have has been in bands just like us. So I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about music. So. But yeah, that was fun. So with that, we will see you guys next week.
Later.
Later.